Hey guys, Logan Plaster here, back with another episode of Startup Health Now. Today we're talking about AI in healthcare, which I'll be honest, I almost hesitate to do because it's gotten so overblown at conferences and on LinkedIn. Everyone says they're in AI, even if they're not, and we're running the risk of having these terms lose all meaning. That said, AI is actually revolutionizing how healthcare is delivered. Just the other day, I went to my primary care doctor and he turned on an AI note taker that turned our conversation into actionable notes afterwards. He told me it was the best new tech in his toolbox. In the startup health community, we've got founders using AI to do things like speed up drug discovery, to detect Alzheimer's disease, to make cancer centers more efficient. So instead of talking about AI at this macro level, we're going to do what we always do in this show, which is talk to founders working things out on the front lines. We're going to get a glimpse of the AI market through the stories of Jared Eula, CEO and founder at Health Talk AI, and Kavi Misri, CEO and founder at Hibiscus Health. First up, we've got Jared Eula.
Providers can use our platform to target patients that may be at risk for a proactive outreach, and our bot technology has a conversation with them, and we have a very good understanding from a care navigation perspective of where they need to go.
Something I find so interesting about Jared's story is that the user-friendliness of this platform, which has led to high engagement for both patients and providers, is rooted in Jared's own experience as an ICU nurse. He gets the frustrations of delivering care in a busy clinic, the frustrations of losing patients into the void after discharge. He just understands, and he's wrapped that experience into a smart chatbot platform that seems to just work for folks. After Jared, we'll hear from Kavi Misri from Hibiscus Health. If Health Talk is elegantly invisible, orchestrating care through a seamless text interface, Hibiscus Health's use of AI is a bit flashier.
It's a 30-second video that's done through your smartphone. We look at below the hemoglobin, looking at the facial blood flow, and then running it against our AI model, we're able to then identify certain vitals that you may be at risk of.
We'll hear in our interview how Hibiscus ties together a range of high-tech solutions into one end-to-end experience for folks with metabolic conditions like diabetes. The end goal? Empower people with knowledge about their health span and then give them the tools to live a longer life. Let's start with my chat with Jared Eula, which took place on the floor of Vive in Los Angeles. So it's been a few years since our last interview.
Yep.
I've been just excited and proud to see your company grow, and you're trucking along. You're growing each year, which is its own sort of badge of honor in healthcare. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's persistence, and you know, you have to be able to be flexible and not necessarily, you know, hang on to your absolute vision. You got to listen to your customers, listen to the market, and as long as you can pivot and solve those problems, you know, you continue to add value to the community we serve.
Yeah. All right. Well, so give me the pitch. What's Health Talk AI today?
Yeah, Health Talk AI is a patient engagement communication platform that allows patients to seamlessly gain access to providers. And they do that, you know, in a myriad of different ways. Providers can use our platform to target patients that may be at risk for a proactive outreach, and our bot technology has a conversation with them, and we have a very good understanding from a care navigation perspective of where they need to go. And I think the last couple of years, what we've done really well is lean into that AI scheduling component, where, you know, we're using, you know, we have a partner with Redox, and so which has been really great, and that allows us to be integrated to 90 plus EMRs on the back end.
Got it.
So that really allows us to gain insight, our virtual assistant bot, insight to the schedules and the access to the supply of providers that patients don't easily have access to.
Okay.
Right? And so whether that's a discharge follow from a hospital or an annual wellness visit, patients going to get the access they're looking for just by, it's a text-to-treat model.
Okay. So let's put a face on it. Let's get really practical. Let's say I'm a patient within the catchment area of a clinic that's using Health Talk AI. Mm-hmm. How do I use the system? What's it like for me?
It's very simple. You text your provider's phone number, and we will greet you with your name if you've been there before. If not, you will be kind of pre-regged via text into whatever EMR they are. And then from that, our customers have set up their, think of it as digital access points, things that they can do via text, whether that's set up a telehealth visit, set up an on-demand telehealth visit, whether that's schedule, you know, vaccine or schedule an in-person visit. And then our AI kind of takes it from there to get them to where they need to go and get them scheduled right to them.
What are some of the time and cost savings that you are excited to be able to share with a new customer?
Oh, the impact is great. Like, for example, we're working with a hospital in New Jersey where we are engaging, I think it's, 800 patients a day.
Really?
And yeah, and we're actually scheduling, taking them from the ER. The bot is assessing their clinical trajectory and whether they have a primary care provider, and we're actually able to schedule them into ECW in this case, and we're doing 30 or 40 a month. So those are patients that don't have primary care providers that were seen in the ER, and based on the bot technology, we're able to retain those patients, and more importantly, they're getting access to primary care in days instead of months or weeks or ever.
It sounds like you're getting pretty good engagement in a market that's really struggled with engagement.
Yeah, it's because it's targeted, right? It's an automated way. The patients are being, there's nothing the provider has to do. We essentially are getting that list from the provider post-discharge, and they may be targeted based on diagnosis, they may be targeted based on, criticality of the visit, and we know a lot about the patient based on what we're getting from the EMR. And then essentially the engagement, it's easy. It's in their language. We support all languages.
Oh, wow.
That was really important for me during COVID. So the bot are configured in any language. So that's really important because the patient is engaged the first time in their native language.
How difficult was that to get off the ground?
If folks that develop software understand, it's very difficult to be configurable yet scalable.
Okay.
So it was a big investment for us. But it's been well worth it because now we can go into a region that, may speak Mongol or Creo, and it's something that, we can do a really good job with that patients. Even though the patients are 2%, those patients matter. Yeah. And we have to be able to meet those patients where they are.
Yeah. Now, you're coming at your role as CEO as having been a healthcare provider, right? You worked as a nurse. How do you feel like that impacts how you lead this company today?
Yeah, I think being a clinical founder, I used to be a neonatal intensive care nurse many, many years ago. I think it does help me keep a grounded in terms of what it's like to use our tools from a provider. So we're very minimalistic from that. I mean, we are trying to allow the EMR to kind of be the source of truth as much as we can for providers. We don't want to make it as easy as it can for them. So I think it does help from that perspective. I understand workflows and things like that that are, critical to kind of making sure that they're sustainable, if that makes sense.
I'm guessing it helps just in your conversations with potential clients. You're like, I've been there. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps. I mean, I think it helps potentially, helps with, their credibility. But I think it's also they know that, I care. I mean, I think we're all into it for a purpose, and having taking care of patients is definitely something I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I'm interested about with Health Talk is that you've been grinding away, you've been gaining these clients, you've been doing the work, and you're in this market that, from my perspective, is getting crowded in terms of just thinking about AI-assisted navigation.
Yeah.
And I see you as someone who's out there doing the work, and there's a lot of people talking about it. And I wonder what you see as the distinguishing factors between the companies coming into that space, between the ones that are going to succeed and the ones that are going to fail?
It's a really good question. I think if folks are thinking about AI, I named the company Health Talk AI 7 years ago, and it's hard to believe. But I had a fundamental belief that because of the short of the resources on the provider side and because patients is difficult to gain access, I knew that AI would have an impact. Now there's a little ton of companies, like you said, with AI. I think it has to be actionable. I think at some point generative AI will have a component to what we're doing in the future. I think it will. I think we're looking at that all the time about that. But it has to have particular pointed particular problems and not this kind of ambiguous,
Black box.
We're using AI, we're just AI. Our bots are very specific. They're very specific tasks and what they do. And I think what's great about Health Talk is that, we have a set of content that they can start from day one, but they really have the ability to build their own bots based on things and problems in the future that they don't know about. So we kind of future-proof it that way. So they have the keys in the kingdom to build things on their own without having to come back to us and saying, Jared, we need this, we need that. They have the ability to kind of problem solve on their own.
Interesting. So what I'm hearing is that there's also just like a clarity of solving this problem with this tool versus a sort of a nebulous, well, our generative AI can do everything.
Yeah.
You are tackling specific, and that goes back to your experience as a healthcare provider.
Yeah.
Like a specific problem needs a specific solution.
You have to have an outcome. So, like for example, you know, a readmissions. If a provider has a problem with readmissions, we'll say, okay, let's attack that. Let's engage your high risk patients. Every patient is going to be engaged post discharge in their native language, and we're going to assess their trajectory, and we're going to give them the access to care virtually or in clinic the next day.
Yeah.
So, but that's all our bot does, is we're focused. And then over time, we expand that, and okay, let's talk about problem two, problem three, problem four, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I love the sort of the clarity and focus of it.
It's easy for our clients to say, okay, we understand the value that Health Talk is providing, right? Because we're aligned with their top priorities.
Okay. What are you most excited about for the next 12 months in terms of growth or milestones?
Well, I think I'm most excited. Folks are interested in AI now. You know, I mean, I think that's the thing. I think at this point, people understand that for a long time, I think as clinicians, we used to talk top of license. In other words, you need registered nurses doing these set of jobs. You need front end desk doing these certain type of jobs. You need physicians doing this, but there's a new layer now, and it's what AI should be doing first, right? And that is jobs, things that humans are not good at, or jobs that humans do not want to do, right? So we should be thinking of that layer first, and that's where companies like Health Talk AI can really fit really well, right? And we add a lot of accuracy, we can add a lot of value in that, and then we can talk about the rest of the folks that are left after the Great Resignation, right? That the rest of the folks that now we can go back and say, okay, what are the new jobs that nurses are going to be doing? Because nurses shouldn't be dying for dollars every day. They shouldn't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Whether they use Health Talk or somebody else, they should not be doing that. They should be taking care of patients. I'm passionate about that. So there's a new layer that I think that people are understanding that I'm really excited about.
Okay. Who's an ideal partner for you going forward?
In terms of a customer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we fit really well in the primary care space because of the flexibility of our platform, being able to do an outreach for diabetes or doing an outreach and scheduling for annual wellness, or patients just being able to text or treat for, a pediatric visit. So because there's so many different use cases, we're a really good fit there. But I think that healthcare and health systems or provider systems are a good fit too, just because we can automate so many of their processes that they're using, manual or human power now, that really they shouldn't be doing. They haven't really figured out they can't afford to be doing for very long.
Mm.
So those two segments, I think, are good partners
for
us.
Jared, I appreciate you taking the time with me. I love seeing how your experience at the bedside has informed this company. I talk to a lot of founders, and I don't always get that. The immediacy of understanding the patient experience and the clinic experience, and the fact that you've been pushing on this for, we said, 7 years?
Yeah.
You know, kind of before all this generative AI conversation was so hot. Doing the work, really helping folks, and growing steadily each year. It's exciting to watch. So thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, Logan.
Next up, we'll hear my conversation with Kavi Misri, CEO and founder at Hibiscus Health. Fun note here, Kavi is a serial entrepreneur, and his last company, called Rose Health, was also a part of the Startup Health portfolio. Kavi named his companies Rose and Hibiscus as a nod to his own mother, whose name means elegant flowers in Urdu. I think this should earn Kavi some kind of Son of the Year award, but until that happens, he'll be busy running Hibiscus Health. Now, let's get into the interview. So you're in the early innings of Hibiscus. When did you launch it?
I launched Hibiscus in June of last year.
Okay, so less than a year.
Less than a year.
But you've been making tracks. You've been doing a lot.
We've been hustling. Yeah, okay. We've been hustling and we've been building. And yeah. We've been building and building. Yeah.
Which is partly because you've been moving quickly because this is not your first rodeo.
Correct.
You were the founder and CEO of Rose Health, correct, which was a startup health company.
Yep.
But we're here to talk about Hibiscus.
Yep.
What is it?
Hibiscus is a preventative health company. So we leverage deep tech for early detection of metabolic conditions. In a very bold way, we can take a look at your selfie, and we can gauge when you may die.
Okay.
And using that information, we empower you to add 15 more years to your life.
Okay. So if I'm taking a selfie, mm-hmm, and it's like you're gonna die tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's gonna
not as intense. Probably within the next 10 years. Yes.
I hope not. Yes. The next 10 years. Yes. Okay. So, why is a selfie able to give me a picture of my health?
So we use facial blood flow analysis, and the way that it works is that it's a 30-second video that's done through your smartphone. So you don't need any special equipment for this. It's just a 30-second facial scan. We look at below the hemoglobin, looking at the facial blood flow, and then running it against our AI model, we're able to then identify certain vitals that you may be at risk of.
How new is this technology? I mean,
it's absolutely
pretty
new.
Bleeding edge.
It is next gen. Like gone are the days of the skin prick test, as well as we still want you to go get your blood checked at the doctor's office.
But
this is a great way for us to identify patients early and also remove the barriers that exist that prevents folks from having their blood tested or from finding out that they may be at risk of high cholesterol or high triglycerides or even being pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic.
Sure. Let's blow this out for a second and think about, you know, the sort of the moonshot vision here. Mm-hmm. What happens... What's life like 10 years from now if everybody in a population is able to get vitals from their phone every single day?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be such a healthier community with that, because data is power. I mean, data is powerful. Being able to understand and be empowered by your data is even more powerful. So we're able to make these changes. It could be very small changes that have a major impact on one's health. And 10 years from now, it just allows us to capture all that data about ourselves and be able to really look at our vitals and check our vitals on a daily basis if we want, right? Mm. And it also changes the game for rural healthcare and for those that really don't have the access to this type of care. It's also the reducing the convenience aspect of it as well, inconvenience aspect, because instead of having to call your primary care doctor, get a physical in the next 3 months, then if they don't offer lab work there, have to go to Quest or LabCorp to get your blood taken. And at each stage, it's reducing the adherence of getting tested and really finding out.
Okay. Let's talk about your go-to-market, because you've got this breakthrough technology.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own version of it. You didn't invent the idea of this technology. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So this exists, this ability to draw this data.
So we've used the subject data and the image analysis, where we've built our own AI model to detect the facial flow. And we are continuing to expand on the accuracy of it. So we're currently experiencing about 85% accuracy, up to about 95% depending on the vital. But we are actively seeing patients and getting more subject data by being able to get more patients enrolled and being able to use that to improve the accuracy of the platform.
Okay, talk to me about how you actually roll this out. Who are the clients?
Sure. Yep.
How are they responding to something that's so next gen? Because sometimes there's some hesitancy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, well, that seems a little much.
Yeah. So we are selling to self-funded employers, and they absolutely love the idea because the prevalence of diabetes and the prevalence of some of these metabolic conditions just continue to increase. And further, the cost of that care continues to expand as well. So it's a double whammy when you look at the cost of care for the self-funded employer. So they are excited because of a number of things. Not only are they able to have a healthier workplace population, but it has been shown that just people in general want to be empowered and want to know about their healthcare. So they're also interested in, you can see my A1C score, I can test my cholesterol or my blood pressure.
Yeah.
So it is well received. We sell through brokers and consultants, so going to Lockton, Mercer, Gartner, NFP, Aon. So reaching out to these broker consultants who then will speak with their clients and then bring us on board as a benefit. And one of the beautiful things about it is that we are a digital, as a digital first company or as a digital front door, we really sit at the top of the detection and being able to identify patients who are at risk. And then we can create a care plan and then also help with the navigation of care. So we're not reinventing the wheel. We're not reselling them a solution. We're using their existing products. Like if it's diabetes, for example, if they have Livongo or they have Omada or they have Verda or Vita, we're actually empowering those companies.
Okay.
So we're sitting on the top and we're identifying and screening the patients at a very high level, about 60 to 70% being screened. I mean, just think about how much time you spend waiting for a Zoom meeting. In that 30 seconds of waiting for a Zoom meeting, we could scan your face and we can identify. Then we can get you to the appropriate care teams and navigate you to Omada or Livongo or Verda or Vita.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a win-win-win when you think about it, because Omada, Livongo, Verda, Vita, they're getting higher engagement from us because we're pushing more patients to them. The employer is happier because they are able to have a healthier workforce, lower cost of care. And then the benefit brokers are happy as well because they ultimately can say that they've sold a really beautiful product as well.
Maybe this is getting too in the weeds, but what's to keep Omada and Livongo, those types of companies, from incorporating this kind of technology
into their assessment? Yeah, so that's super fair. So it's something that we've seen that they would purchase versus build. We've spent a significant amount of time building this technology out, working with Johnson & Johnson Innovations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a Johnson & Johnson portfolio company working with JLabs to really look and work on adding more patients to this. Also, being able to have the algorithms to be able to intercept the facial blood flow, the pixelation, that's something that would require a lot of work. The way that we see it is being able to identify the patients and then let Omada, Livongo do what they do best, which is care for the patients.
Yeah.
Just hand the patients off and then be able to have a healthier workforce.
Let's talk for a second about you as a CEO and founder. This is your second startup health company.
Sure.
We had Rose Health before. How are you running Hibiscus differently because of the experience you had at Rose?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think I'm building faster. So I think we've been able to build what I've built so far
at
Hibiscus.
Like
yeah.
It seems like it.
What would have probably taken me about 3 or 4 years at Rose. I have a better ability of building a top-notch team.
Mm.
I know the red flags, or at least I know the type of people that I want on my team. And I continue the model of building with leaders.
Mm.
So everyone at Hibiscus is a leader in their own space. So I trust that they all know what they're doing. We all have the high-achieving goals that we want to set. But each person knows exactly what they have to get done to make that ultimate goal possible. And then it's also the ability to really just build faster and be in a position. Also, the network is huge. Yeah. Having the network that I built at Rose and being able to leverage that, like you, for example, I mean, it's golden. It's just like, it's so powerful having the network and being able to really get what I need done at a quicker and faster level.
I mean, speed's everything.
Time
is money.
The one thing I do find interesting is like we build a lot, but we don't really break. I know the model is always just like build and break, but we're not really breaking much.
They say move fast, break things, and then a lot of people are pushing back against that in healthcare.
We're not really breaking much. We're really spending a lot of time, I guess, transforming the way that care is delivered and providing more of a precise. And also, I think it's also coming from the background of Rose as a deep tech company, being able to understand the deep tech nature that Hibiscus Health can bring and that next gen ability to really identify certain concepts early or identify diseases early and be able to treat it. So kind of a combination of both the care meets the actual early intervention.
Well, Kavi, I appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely a pleasure.
It's kind of amazing. Yeah. It's been less than a year since you launched. A lot's happened. It's exciting to see how you have become a complement to folks like Livongo and Omada, and this screening tool is so huge. So I'm excited about the technology and where you're heading with it, and we're going to keep watching what you do.
Love it. Okay? Yeah. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Kavi.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Startup Health Now. We'll be back again with another episode next week.